You're listening to WMIE, Coco, Merritt Island, Melbourne, Titusville, and the Beaches, 91.5 FM, as well as W272BA, Coco Beach, and Vieira, FM 102.3.
WGOD Radio. All truth, all the time. Welcome to WGOD Radio with pastor and Bible teacher, Dr. Paul Esposito. God is always broadcasting, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. As we tune into His frequency, we will daily hear His voice and receive instruction, encouragement, and daily direction in our lives. Now here to help tune you in is Paul Esposito.
Welcome back once again to WGOD Radio, all truth, all the time. Paul Esposito with you, host of this program, pastor of Island Community Church, Bible translator, station manager here at this radio station. That's who I am, and I thank you for joining us here today. For those of you maybe new to this program, wondering who I am, you're going to hear a sermon I've entitled The Worldly Church. It's a look at the next church in line as we snoop and read someone else's mail. The mail, a letter the Son of God dictated himself by his own mouth to the Apostle John, who wrote this down. And then they took it and delivered it to the pastor of this church. Church has gone down in history as either the worldly church or the compromising church. And that's what we're going to look at here today. So let me ask you, because when we look at the downfall of this church, we really can't relate today. Because they were found guilty of following the doctrine of Balaam. How many of you do that? How many of you know what it is? They were guilty of following after the deeds of the Nicolaitans. How many of you do that? How many of you out here are guilty? You don't even know what it is. We have to struggle. I have to dig out commentaries to know or guess what it is. That's my whole point. But how do you know today if you're in a member of a worldly church? That's where we're going to end up going in this message. Ways for you to know if you are in a worldly church. That's where we're going with this message. This is part one. This will air the rest of this week. The Worldly Church at Pergamos and Beyond.
On the handout, I've entitled it The Compromising Church, because that comes from the heading on the New King James Bible. But probably a better title would be what you saw on the slides, and that would be The Worldly Church. This is the third we've looked at. Mailman's going 20 miles now from Smyrna to a city called Pergamos. Like Ephesus and Smyrna, it was a wealthy city, but it was wicked. People in its pagan cults worshipped Athena, Asclepius, Dionysus, and Zeus. Pergamos was famous for its university. Haven't you ever seen the sweatshirts, right? PU. PU. I go to PU. Pergamos U. Wonder if they're in the Big Ten. Pergamos University had a library of over 200,000 books and famous for manufacturing parchment, resulting in a paper called Pergamena. The atmosphere of this city was adverse to any effective Christian. End this testimony. Another fine place to start a ministry, huh? Where Jesus says, again, mind you, where Satan's throne is. Slowly but surely, the same problems arise in this country that all these other cities had to deal with. That is hostility to the Word of God and hostility towards the name of Jesus Christ. Ultimately, that's what we see today, isn't it? Anyone watch the Kentucky Derby yesterday? Wasn't it a joy to hear the words that came out of the jockey's mouth? Wins the race, they put a microphone in his face, they say, "What do you want to say?" And he goes, "Hallelujah, Jesus Christ is Lord, by golly." Boy, I wish they would have had this. I wish. They wish they probably would have had the 7-second delay on that. Right? Don't want to offend anyone. That was refreshing to see that. But anyway, back to this hostility to the Word of God. It's the very same thing that got John on the island of Patmos in the first place. Now, the problem here with this church is worldliness. Worldliness corrupts a church. Four things cause a church to become worldly. Number one, the church and its members begin to participate in worldly functions. Number two, the church and its members allow worldly activities to take place in the church or in the homes of its members. Can anyone say, bingo, in the sanctuary? You want to play bingo in the sanctuary? This place is holy, not a place for bingo. The third things that cause a church to become worldly, the church begins to baptize and accept people as members that have not truly repented from the world and have given their lives over to Jesus Christ. And number four, the church and its members allow false teaching and preaching from the pulpit, from Wednesday night, from the Sunday school. When you start allowing that kind of stuff, that is a worldly church. Nothing corrupts a church any quicker than worldliness. Pergamos was a corrupted church and a worldly church. So Pergamos is the picture of the corrupted church that's married to the world. Now these churches, not only are they seven, but some people say, me and Darren were talking about this, some expositors believe that it's a picture of the entire church age from the time of the apostles up until the return of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I believe that. That very well could be. But also, you could find yourself in any one of these seven churches. From a corrupt church to a persecuted church to a loveless church or a church that's left its first love. Or you could find yourself at the end in the seventh week as a member in a lukewarm church. Here today, again, this is what we're looking at. We're looking at a church that's corrupted, that's married to the world. Now let's listen to the Lord's instructions here to this church today. Verse 12, we're in Revelation chapter 2. Picking it up in verse 12. Now to the messenger of the church at Pergamos, right? These things says he that has the sharp sword with two edges. Now again, he's starting with an attribute of himself, as he has with all seven of these. These things says he that has the sharp sword with two edges, or the sharp double-edged sword. So what does that mean? What does that mean that he has a sharp two-edged sword? Does he have a sword strapped to his leg? No. All of these attributes are taken from chapter 1. Listen to chapter 1, verse 16. It says this. It says he had in his right hand seven stars. Out of his mouth went a sharp two-edged sword, and his countenance was like the sun shining in its strength. So the two-edged sword is his spoken word with which he will slay all the unbelievers at his return. The one that has a sharp two-edged sword, he's talking about what comes out of his mouth. The same words that say, "Peace, be still," is him with has a sharp two-edged sword. The Lord Jesus, he kills and makes alive by the words out of his mouth because he's God. Revelation 19, verses 11 through 16. Says, I saw heaven open, and behold, a white horse. And he that sat upon him was called Faithful and True. And in righteousness he judges and makes war. His eyes were like a flame of fire. On his head many crowns. He had a name written that no man knew but he himself. He was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood. His name is called Ho Logos Tou Theou, the Word of God. And the armies which were in heaven followed him on white horses, clothed in fine linen, white and clean. Out of his mouth goes a sharp sword, that with it he will smite the nations. And he will rule them with a rod of iron. He treads the winepress of the fierceness of the wrath of Almighty God. He had on his vesture and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. No more away in a manger, no crib for a bed this time. Next time it's with flaming fire taking vengeance. Think about that word, vengeance. God says, vengeance is mine. I will repay. Here, vengeance, out of his mouth goes a sharp two-edged sword, meaning all he has to say on this day is drop dead. That's the end of the fight. He won't be spit on next time, church. He won't be spit on. He won't be blasphemed. He won't be betrayed. He won't be crucified. Not again. We're not crucifying the Son of God again. No one's going to say, oh, look at the cute little baby Jesus. Not again. He's not a baby. This time he's coming back in flaming fire, inflicting vengeance on all those that don't know God. Or on those that don't obey the gospel. No more baby Jesus. This is he who's writing this letter, whose mouth is a sharp two-edged sword. Next up is the commendation. He says, I know your works, and I know where you live. I know where thou dwellest, even where Satan's throne is. King James says, seat. The word thronos. And you hold fast to my name, and you have not denied my faith. Isn't that funny how he says you do not deny your faith? He says you do not deny my faith. Even in those days wherein Antipas was my faithful martyr, who was slain among you where Satan lives. By the way, martyr and witness is the same Greek word, martus, sometimes translated martyr, sometimes translated witness. Martyr and witness, it's the same thing in Greek, a martyr and a witness. You can't separate the two. A witness many times is going to be a martyr, and a martyr all the time is a witness.
Thank you for listening today to WGOD Radio. All truth, all the time. We believe that there is no stopping the child of God that is walking with him daily and is tuned in to his frequency, which is the Holy Spirit, who uses the Word of God to transform us daily and to speak to us. For more information on WGOD Radio, please check us out on the web. You'll find us on Facebook at WGOD Radio and on Twitter at WGOD Radio. Join us again next time for WGOD Radio. All truth, all the time.